Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
No one should have to decide if they can afford life-saving care. Expanding Medicaid would bring billions in federal funding back to our state. It helps stabilize rural hospitals providing critical care. Text BETTER to 46839.
The latest morning headlines and sports talk hosts that call it like they see it. Welcome to the People's Sports Talk Show. Contact the guys at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Now, here's today's edition of Mississippi Sports Today.
Woo, buddy, on a chilly Tuesday, February 18th, we in the house. The Serve Pro Studio is a good place to be today. And we're glad you're with us alongside our Tuesday co-hosts. Back in the saddle, the OJD, Johnny Davis, busy in high school basketball playoffs. You're going to update us on that this morning, my friend?
I am going to talk a little bit about it. Appreciate the opportunity. I got to get through quick where I can go get some milk and bread.
Milk and bread, yep. Emergency milk and bread run today, even if you don't need it.
Yeah.
You got to buy it, right? Stacey Joe Rollins from Marvelous Mouse Travels, our Tuesday lady friend.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
We got a lady friend once a week, guys. and our wives are good with it.
Yeah. They're okay with that, right?
Yeah, we love Stacey coming in, and we'll be hearing
glad
from her.
Be here.
Fresh off her Super Bowl trip. I trust this past weekend not as eventful.
A
little more tame.
Laying on the couch, watching races all weekend, and that's about it.
Speaking of, a guy who had a busy weekend down in Daytona, Brian Rigby, back in studio with us. You look rested for a guy who did all you did over the last 4 days, man.
Yeah, got back yesterday around 11 a.m. Trying to get my feet back under me. And, you know, when you're out of town, it's all the things you come back to, you're trying to get caught up on. And,
of course.
It's kind of a shock coming back to this cool air when been wearing flip-flops and shorts and T-shirts.
Goodness. You had a good report for us Friday. Of course, it's very busy here in studio because we had Paul on.
Yeah.
But, Brian, we're going to get your take on the weekend and the final lap crash, which seems to be a tradition in this race, and his thoughts on Daytona. You joined the conversation as well at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Already some folks saying hello this morning. Thank you. Do want to thank Paul Thorne for being on with us this past Friday. That was a ton of fun. The podcast is available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Check out Mississippi Sports Today. And Paul's visit was entertaining, to say the least. We had so much response on the text line and so forth. So I hope you heard it. If you didn't, check out the podcast. But Brian, I mean, everything from President Trump, and you just showed us video of his Air Force One, and just talk about that whole experience.
It's so cool. It kind of, you know, it gives you the chill bumps, and when you see Air Force One, and he did this 4 years ago or 5 years ago when he came for the first time, but in Donald Trump fashion, when he makes his appearance, he brings in an Air Force One and buzzes the infield of Daytona, and then kind of goes up and makes a hard bank and comes back and lands at the airport, which is right beside the track. And so, and then they bring in the beast and all the stuff. And so, obviously, a very, very, you know, large patriotic group. You probably won't find any more, you know, true Americans and patriots. Yeah. And
that's his people.
It's his people.
Yeah.
We told Secret Service 4 or 5 years ago when he came, he was like, man, you got more Secret Service people here than anywhere.
Yeah. He is well protected.
Very well protected.
In this venue. And then the race and the delays, of course, and, man, it was kind of an all-day thing for most of us who are trying to watch it. But from your perspective there.
Yeah, so we were in turn three, and everybody knew that the rain was coming. And we knew that the first how many ever laps they could get in would be boring because we knew the drivers just buying time and they knew the rain was coming and just kind of going through the motions, and that's what they did. And then, I mean, as soon as we heard on the headsets that rain was in turn one, we kind of took cover for a couple hours. It's crazy that turn one, it rains there 15 minutes before it gets to turn three.
How about
that far away. Yeah. But But, you know, eventually we got to the Daytona 500 and kind of what we expected, and the wrecks and the crashes and all of the stories. And, of course, you know, the winner. It's only the fifth time that somebody has won the Daytona 500 back-to-back.
Back-to-backs are hard to get.
William Byron did it, and so.
And the race, I mean, culminated on many of these. I was looking through some history because Richard Petty was actually the first to win, I believe, back-to-backs at Daytona. But I was looking at so many of these races have ended in a final lap crash. You just got to expect, you know, a big one coming, right?
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, there's so many people, and it's the controversy around the super speedways is, you know, the bumping and the people getting rough and people getting upset about it. And I'm like, man, it would be so boring if you're not trying to pass people.
Rubbin's racing.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be aggressive and things are going to happen. And that's just part of the super speedway experience. And that's why I love them so much, because you, I mean, you can anticipate them. You can feel them. If you've been going to places like Talladega, the Daytona 500, when you can feel them about to happen.
Wow.
I mean, when they come around, you're like,
all right. And the wreck happened on turn three of the final lap. Were you surprised? No caution?
I was. And that's the big other storyline there is, you know, NASCAR, you know, sometimes they put a caution, sometimes they don't.
Didn't they for the duel?
They did. And they and when they, you know, when the caution comes out, it freezes the field. And I think that's how Tyler Reddick, I think, won that duel, or maybe Austin Centric. I can't remember. But anyway,
Centric.
Yeah, you know, Centric that won. And so, you know, NASCAR says everybody seemed to be in control of their car. They were still moving. And so.
And you only had, you know, a little while to go.
Yeah. And so they were talking about, I think they were in Charlotte last year, and somebody was within like 100 yards of the finish line. And they hit the caution.
Oh,
and so, you know, that's the thing is people are saying, just, hey, just let them race, let them finish, you know. But there's always going to be controversy in every sport,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to have Brian back in studio today. We do have some traffic, as we mentioned, on the Elite Realty text line. Swamp, the man of Swamp, is in pretty good mood this morning. There's a new number two, guys, and it ain't Duke. Go Gators, Swamp man. Another AI said hello this morning. What's up, Alvin? He says, took it to Ole Miss Saturday evening in hoops. Schedule is tough for the Rebels. Right you are. We got more on that coming up in just a bit. Also, Jerry. Hello, Jerry. Got a question for us, guys. How many State fans out there wishing, like me, that Vic Schaefer was still our coach? Jerry in Pontotoc.
He's having a year at Texas.
They are probably the hottest team in women's college basketball, you know, give or take. And I don't know, man. I don't know if many people are going to beat Texas. And they got Madison Booker, who is a Mississippi native and is absolutely, you know, they're dominating their opponents. And we'll get to some women's games from over the weekend of note. But we do have a game tonight of rather hefty proportions, my friends. The number 7 Texas A&M Aggies visiting number 21, Mississippi State. Both those teams moved up one in the latest Associated Press poll tonight at 6:30, the airtime over on 95.9. How big was the win in Oxford Saturday to pull State to 6-6 in conference?
Yeah, it was huge. There's no doubt. I watched most all the ball game. There was no doubt who thought they needed to win that ball game worse than the other team did. I mean, it was just.
And we said this time and time again that a lot of basketball is effort on a particular day, and that day State brought the energy that Ole Miss just didn't seem to have the entire game.
Yeah, and Beard was looking for somebody that would create some effort. He's played some guys that hadn't been playing, did all he could do, you know, and apologized to the fans for.
What a great job for Chris Beard and his staff, though.
Yeah.
I mean, coming in a hostile environment and getting an all-important SEC road win there. And to you know, you're one up on your arch rival, or two up, actually, this year, right? Texas A&M, speaking of hot teams, good gracious, these guys are good.
And a big portion of Mississippi State's losses have come at home.
They have. State, A&M, rather, 4-3 in true road games this year. And they're 6-2 versus ranked teams. Wade Taylor leads them at a little over 15 points a game and 4.5 rebounds. The guy you have to watch with him is Farrell Payne.
Yeah.
And he's 65. He's a beast underneath. 65% field goal percentage. Averages a little over 9 points, 4.7 rebounds a game. So you can expect a physical. And, Brian, you've been talking about physical this league is tonight. You better to watch or listen to this game. You need knee pads, maybe a headband,
mouthpiece.
Good idea.
Texas A&M will flat bring it to you, buddy.
And they are so athletic.
I mean,
not just physical. They're very, very athletic. And when you see them on the court, you recognize these are. I mean, this may be the most athletic team in the conference. I'm not saying they're their best, but as far as pure athletes, they've got it, and they have a great coaching staff, and they never panic, and it's just another quality SEC opponent.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be looking forward to that this evening as part of a handful of SEC games tonight. Ole Miss off on the midweek, but they'll travel to Vandy. That's going to be a tough road to hoe on Saturday, and we'll have that game for you right here on Super Talk. Jared has a comment on the Rebels, and they were running on fumes against State. Hopefully they get some rest this week. Vandy is no slouch. Thank you, Jared. Morning, guys. Great weekend for Mississippi baseball teams. Allen saying hello today. Ole Miss looked good in Arlington. Allen was over there with the team, beating two ranked teams. Texas took it to us, but Texas pitchers are top-notch. Yeah, we're going to get to baseball, too. Can't wait. Talk a little baseball. Did y'all see Cooper Flagg get stuff trying to dunk on a guy last night? Monster block. Check it out. I did see that. It was awesome. Let's just go ahead and give you a few numbers and stay in basketball if we can, since we're this deep into the season. Somebody asked if Ole Miss had a guaranteed spot in the dance. Better finish strong.
Better win one more.
Yeah.
I think they win one more. They will. Yeah.
All right, let's look at some stats to this point in the season, and individually in team stats that might enlighten us to some things. Josh Hubbard, second in the SEC in three-pointers made, a little over three a game. Shaz Lanier of Tennessee leads 3.3 a game. Cam Matthews, what a season he's having, leading the conference in steals at 2.5 a game. Padula is third on that list. And then here's some numbers that kind of got your head scratching a little bit if you're like me. Ole Miss leads the SEC in fewest turnovers a game. So they've been taking care of the basketball.
Yeah, they had one game with one turnover. Which is almost impossible.
Hard to do. The Rebs are next to last, though, in rebounds per game.
Yeah, I had one game with one rebound, too, I think.
Oklahoma's the only team in the conference worse at rebounding than Ole Miss. Mississippi State. Some numbers here. They're second in conference in steals per game at 9.3. Missouri steals at 10 times a game on average. That's
crazy.
That's some D'ing up.
Thieves.
Right? State is 11th in the SEC in field goal percentage. They have to shoot it better. Ole Miss is even worse. 14th in the league in field goal. You got to make your shots. In a league where, you know, look at Alabama's numbers, and Auburn leads the conference in field goal percentage.
Yeah, and for Ole Miss, a mixture of low shooting percentage and not getting rebounds.
Bad formula.
Bad results.
Yeah. Well, you better be thankful that you're not turning the ball over.
That's right.
Right.
Or the game would be over.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, you'd be much worse. Here's one that sort of took me aback. Texas A&M is last in the league in field goal. They only make 42% of their shots.
Then they must be shooting often.
They go get after it.
They do. They rebound.
And they get after your misses.
Yeah.
Like, Brian, that athleticism comes out.
Yeah,
you can, you know, you shoot and miss, and you get it back, and shoot and miss, and get it back, and then you score.
Yeah, and your shooting percentage goes down, but the scoreboard goes up.
And your rebounds are off the charts, right? Yeah. Let's look at the AP Top 25 and not go to one by one, but just a note here, update for you. Southeastern Conference has nation's best, an 0-1 surprise. How many teams in the top 25?
Nine
teams. Three of the top four, five of the top 10. Big 12 and Big 10 each have five teams. Though the Big 12 had three in the top 10, while the highest-ranked Big 10 team checked in at 11. So far and away, SEC dominating.
And I think this is going to be, for me, my opinion, that this will be probably the most interesting NCAA tournament when we see these SEC teams match up with some of these other conferences out there, yeah. How it will be officiated, how physical they let them play. And I can't wait for that to see postseason play of how these SEC teams match up against some.
Yeah, the tournament, the conference tournament.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, outside of South Carolina, I don't think they're going to scratch all year.
No, and even LSU, as bad as they've been, have played some really close ball games with everybody.
We'll see some wild stuff in the tournament.
Yeah.
Let's go to high school basketball now. And Nate said hello. He says, Johnny D, big game in ICC Friday, Tisk County Girls versus Choctaw Central.
Absolutely. Tisk County's on a roll. They got a couple of young ladies. Meg Moore's one of them. And Meg's, I believe, a sophomore. And she's already gotten looks and maybe even offers from three or four Division I schools, Ole Miss including.
Wow.
She's a machine. And she threw one in the other night. She had 22 points, and she threw in a last-second shot from the free throw line on the other end and hit nothing but the bottom of the net.
Wow.
It was unreal. Unreal.
Almost 70 feet.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And she needs to get a little stronger. I mean, she's tall and slim, and she needs to get a little more on her bones before she goes to SEC ball. But she's a real player. High school basketball is at the top of the throttle right now. We're at the quarterfinals of the state tournament. And they'll be played at three locations: Mississippi Valley, ICC, and Northeast. Of local listening area interest, East Union boys defeated Ingomar Saturday. And they're going to play Northside in the first round. All you got to do is win one, and you just play one. And if you win, you go to Jackson for the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
So after this weekend, there'll only be two teams from the South, two teams from the North. They'll crisscross and then play a state championship. So
a little bit different, that format.
It is a little different. In times past, we've carried the quarterfinals to Jackson, to the big house. Not so this year.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're actually going to play a little of it this year at Jackson State, which is, anyway.
No better.
No. Bowen is one of the four 1A boys teams. They're going to play West Union. There's another local team. Ingomar girls in 2A are going to be at ICC and trying to latch on to another state championship after having six or seven in the last 10 years. And Tupelo is going to be playing at Mississippi Valley on Wednesday, I believe that's right.
Trying to go back-to-back.
And, yeah, boys, girls, boys. Get out and watch some really good basketball. This is still high school sports, like Brian said about football with Tupelo and that state championship. It's still pure. They're not playing for NIL in Mississippi, so it's some great basketball. And if you're here local, two of the best venues in North Mississippi.
Just about to say.
At the Davis Event Center and the revamped Bonner Arnold Coliseum at Northeast.
Yeah, no better pay. And it's so cold, you better get in somewhere and enjoy some of that basketball as the season winds down for our area high schools.
Hey, let me throw one more thing in while we're high school. Congratulations to South Tilla women's girls soccer team winning their third state championship in a row yesterday.
Wow, that's impressive.
Three in a row.
Congrats.
In any sport, that's impressive.
Any level, any sport. We saw the Chiefs couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
And I don't know anything about soccer, but I have tremendous respect for our girls or boys, either one, that will go out in 20-degree weather and rain and play in shorts. It's just
no kidding.
Yeah. Well, we should have some probably more area teams win soccer titles, too. All right, these sports overlapping. It's almost too much. Baseball this weekend, as somebody mentioned, so far so good. SEC in the Division I baseball top 25. How many teams from the SEC?
Nine.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Basketball and baseball, top 25.
Yeah.
Nine teams. We have six ranked in the top 10, four in the top five. Virginia, the only non-SEC team in the top five. They're very good. They're ranked second.
Yeah.
All right. Mississippi State is number 18, coming off that weekend sweep of Manhattan. And it wasn't very competitive. We'll get to that in a minute. The Rebs, guys, two wins over ranked teams, as I believe Jared pointed out. 15-5 over Clemson with Luke Hill doing the damage. 3-for-5, two home runs, five batted in. Rebels beat Arizona 2-1 Friday. And, Brian, I know you were, and Johnny, too, you guys were delighted to see Hunter Elliott back out there.
Absolutely. Five shutout innings and looks to be the – same old Hunter, maybe even improved in some areas. As
velocity's a little better.
Yeah, and it, you know, he's kind of been known for somebody that struggles in his starts,
yeah,
and then settles in. Yeah. But had a great outing, and it's just so good to see a kid back that hasn't pitched since April of 23.
That's right. Yeah.
So very exciting, just for him and his family.
Kind of an all Tupelo deal in that game because Mason Morris, came in and closed it out.
Yeah, Mason pitched three innings, I think, in the middle, and then Connor Spencer came in at the end. But Mason, he gave up one home run, but other than that, a great outing, 93-95. He's really amped up his velocity.
Of course, Saturday, the run rule loss to Texas, and Texas very good, and then the win over Clemson. Run rule me on Sunday. Ole Miss will host Arkansas State. There's been an adjustment to the start time of that when they were going to start at 4 today. The weather's backed them up. 2 o'clock airtime right here on Super Talk, 2:30 first pitch. The home opener for the Rebels, $2 dogs.
Yeah, I'm going over for that one.
Kids under 12, free. Take some kids under 12 with you, Johnny.
I'll pick them up when I get there.
You wanted to ride with them.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a little chilly. It's Swayze today.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah.
It's just typical baseball weather.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as a side note, I've got a Flow Sports subscription now because that was the only way to watch this weekend.
Okay.
Well, I canceled it, but I've got it for a month.
Yeah, they get you, don't they? Boy, how about States? Dominant over Manhattan. The Jaspers were no match for the Bulldogs in their weekend opener. 35-5, State outscored Manhattan, and it would have been worse if not for the 10-run rule on Friday. State never trailed more than one inning in this series. First two games we mentioned, 17-3. All they managed was a field goal, I guess. 13-1, also in a doubleheader on Friday. And then Sunday, 5-1 winners. They committed one error in three games. You got to like that early.
That's really good. And Lamonis was, when they interviewed him yesterday, was saying that he was a lot more impressed with their defense and pitching. And he got a little bit almost teary-eyed talking about Stone Simmons.
Yeah, so Stone Simmons took the mound Sunday for the first time. It's sort of a Hunter Elliott story. He hadn't pitched since 2022.
And
we were kids the last time this guy pitched.
Stone Simmons is actually the only player they've got left on the roster from their national championship team.
He's a good guy to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allowed one hit, two walks, five strikeouts, and three scoreless innings. Pico Khan was sharp in Friday's game one start. Struck out the first batter in three pitches. Struck out the next two. He allowed only one base runner in five scoreless innings and had 11 strikeouts. Pico. I got a dog named Pico.
You got a dog named everything.
Roscoe Pico Train, known as Pico.
Dukes of Hazzard.
You guys missed it yesterday. I brought Bogey here.
Oh, no.
We had a vet appointment and brought Bogey here, and he got to meet the staff. It was fun.
All right.
Yeah. What a weekend for Aaron Downs. He didn't start the first game for the Bulldogs. His senior outfielder had seven batted in two games for Mississippi State. Big one tonight at the Pete.
Yeah.
State versus Southern. Golden Eagles had a nice weekend, 4-0. They had Lafayette over the weekend. No trouble with them. I believe one of those was a one-run game, but the rest of them, boat races. Southern has lost four of the last five versus Mississippi State, but they haven't played in Hattiesburg since 2018. State will return to the Dude and host Missouri State this weekend. So a lot of history with these two programs.
Be careful, Coach Lemonis, because the last time Mississippi State played at Southern, the next day their coach got released. That was when Cannizzaro.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, so, I mean, all these teams are trying to, you know, coaching staff trying to figure out, you know, who their best nine's going to be. But you also have to be careful because some of these games can come up and bite you later on with RPI and all those things. But, you know, the SEC has looked strong again. I want to throw out a stat here. LSU's pitching staff combined for 45 strikeouts with only two walks in 27 innings this weekend.
That's pretty good.
That's crazy.
45 strikeouts.
That's crazy.
Two walks and 27 innings.
Did Skeens throw? What's up?
Yeah.
That's getting it done.
That's crazy.
The kind of pitching I love to see.
Yeah.
Being aggressive, attacking hitters, and no free passes.
Yeah.
And, man, you can win a lot of ball games doing that.
That's absolutely right.
Southern Miss under their second year head coach, Christian Ostrander. I mean, you talk about a program that's sort of under the radar. They have eight straight 40-win seasons. Southern Miss appeared in the NCAA tournament for the eighth straight year last year, of course, going down to the eventual champions in that regional. But, I mean, Southern Miss has sort of quietly done this.
Yeah, and, you know, Southern has always gotten these kids that, you know, you may not see in the headlines a lot, but they're gritty, they're good baseball players. You know, Christian Ostrander coached under Mike Kinnison, or played under Mike Kinnison,
right.
Delta State. So he's been around a lot of great coaches. And this is a program that will probably always kind of fly under the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you go to Hattiesburg, you've got a true test on your hands.
And they don't shy from competition.
No.
I mean, they play State and Ole Miss and Alabama.
Yeah,
and,
they got Ole Miss later in the month, I believe, before the right around the last weekend of the month, somewhere in there. But tonight, a lefty-on-righty matchup, Charlie Foster, the freshman, will go for the goal, or expected to be your starter tonight for Southern versus right-hander Colby Allen, a junior, for Mississippi State. All right, we'll return. We'll check the Elite Realty text line. We have some ICC baseball updates for you. Some SEC women's basketball and softball off to a good start. Guys, for both Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and the Bulldogs be in action today. We'll have more on that on the other side of our timeout with OJD, Stacy Joe, and Brian Rigby from the Surf Pro Studio.
Looking for a deal on the best burger you've ever had? It's BOGO Mania at B-Dubs. On Mondays and Wednesdays, get one Buffalo Wild Wings burger and get one free. Tuesday is BOGO Traditional Wings. Buy one and get 50% off. And Thursday is BOGO Free Boneless. Buy one, get one free. Burgers Mondays and Wednesdays, Traditional Wings on Tuesday, and Boneless on Thursday. Hurry, it's a limited time offer. It's BOGO Mania, only at Buffalo Wild Wings in the Tupelo Commons.
Hi, this is Brian Rigby, owner of ServPro of Tupelo. ServPro is the nation's leader in cleaning and restoration. But here at home, we're more than that. We're neighbors helping neighbors, friends taking care of friends. Whether it's storm, flood, or fire damage, our pros will make it like it never even happened. Our staff has over 150 years combined experience in residential and commercial projects. Visit ServPro.com or call 690-6502. ServPro of Tupelo, here in your community, here to help.
Your attention, please. The distinguished gentleman from Tupelo, Mississippi, Mr. Janitor, now has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, while I have the floor, I shall clean the floor. Whether the floor be of hardwood or tile, carpet or rug, Mr. Janitor vows to clean that floor better than anyone else. Why, Mr. Janitor even cleans grout. Mr. Janitor has been voted on as the area's best. Give Mr. Janitor the floor, and it'll be like new again.
Order, order, order a floor cleaning from Mr. Janitor today at 844-7713. Mr. Janitor, the floor is yours.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. While our legal team, proven in securing million-dollar settlements, will fight fiercely on your behalf. With Mama Justice, you aren't just a client, you're family. Lean on us for both your healing and your rights. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
What are you people?
Who are you?
Featuring a different lineup of hosts every day and your comments on the Elite Realty text line. This is the People's Sports Talk Show. Now, back to more of Mississippi Sports Today on Super Talk 101.9.
All right, delighted to have you aboard on this Tuesday edition of Mississippi Sports Today, featuring Brian Rigby, Sir Pro Tupelo, Stacey Joe Rollins, and the official Johnny Davis. And a question for Johnny: have you seen the Biggersville girls play?
Oh yeah, I've seen behind. That's another team that I left out. Biggersville girls and boys both are in the 1A quarterfinals, and
some things never change.
No. Stays the same.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all saying on a recruiting note here from the text line. Looks like Kiffin is starting to ramp up the high school kids. I hope this is true because I don't like players coming in for 1 year and done.
Well, a lot of high school kids are coming in for one year and done.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
Right. Say hello. 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. I got a stumper for you guys. I read this somewhere over the last week and didn't realize it, and I thought it'd be fun to bat this around today. And it's time for the premiere edition of Stump the Band. Mr. West has said hello this morning, but he has no question for us. So I'm gonna throw this out there for all of you and see if you can come up with it's sort of a two-part answer. Devontae Smith did something in this. You may have heard this. In the Super Bowl that only four other humans have ever accomplished. And he did it with their win over the Chiefs on Super Bowl Sunday. Devontae Smith and four others have done this that no other players have done. What is it, and who are the other players?
You don't want much.
Told you. We may get the answer next Tuesday.
Wasn't scored two touchdowns.
No. If you know, say hello. 331-250. This is almost the most rare company you can the sport of football. It concerns both their college and pro careers.
I'm saying, is it play with your college quarterback?
No, it was a good guess.
Yeah,
good guess.
I wonder how many people's done that.
Not many. Catch a pass for a touchdown, a Super Bowl with your college former.
Yeah.
Right? Were they teammates, though?
May have not have been. He may have been already at Oklahoma.
Right.
He was. Hurts. Devontae Smith. Might have been a freshman when Hurts was there the last year.
Might have been.
But Hurts, didn't play a lot the last year.
Did not.
Alabama,
no. Didn't.
Till the end.
What has Devontae Smith done in college? What did he do? He won what?
National championship.
And
a Super Bowl.
And?
Heisman.
Bingo.
Oh.
And four other people have done that.
Four others have done this. Can you name?
Have the Heisman, yeah. National championship.
That's
and
the
Super Bowl.
Trifecta, my friend.
Ooh.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right? The hat trick.
Ooh. Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, you got to go to the Heisman list first, I think, and then start working back.
I saw some of these. I went, he won a national title? Huh.
Wow.
Running backs. Think running backs. And there's one defensive back.
Did Emmett win a national championship?
Nope. You're close.
Woodson? No.
Yes. Charles Woodson.
Yeah.
The trifecta.
Yeah.
Won it with Michigan.
Won the Heisman.
Won the Super Bowl with the Packers, I believe.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
All right, there's one down, three to go.
The other two are running backs. So.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry didn't win a Heisman.
Go back. You got to get in the Wayback Machine for one of them.
Yeah, this is before my time.
All right, I'll give them to you. In the interest of time, I'll go ahead and divulge the answers. Tony Dorsett did it.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
With the Cowboys.
And he won a national championship at Pitt.
And the
Heisman. Yep. All right. Also doing it, Marcus Allen.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
I would not have either.
Yeah, Marcus Allen.
Oakland Raiders.
USC Trojans.
Yep.
Then, of course, won the Heisman.
Yep.
All right. So we're down to one, right? This one, I went, really? Reggie Bush.
Wow.
Reggie Bush won a title.
Yeah.
Had the Heisman taken away, but got it back.
I thought he was stripped of everything.
Who among us? Who among? No, he's not. And then one, apparently, I guess it was with the Saints.
Yeah.
Was it? Mm. I think so.
I guess it was.
Reggie Bush. Mark Ingram, good guess, but no. Yep. Mr. West says they both came from the University of Alabama. They are the only two people from the same university. Nobody else has done it, catching a pass. That's a good one, too.
Wow.
And I feel smarter. And we need to talk football a bit.
I don't think that Alabama can claim Jalen Hurts.
No.
No, I agree.
I don't think anybody can. He's a portal kid. He's a portal.
He was a portal before the portal was even.
He's a portal kid.
Yeah. He was a graduate transfer.
We had a discussion on that last week. Like, if you play for 15 NFL teams and you get the Hall of Fame, I mean, probably should put all 15 teams up there, right? Mm-hmm. JUCO update. ICC took 2 of 3 from Lakeland College over the weekend. They will host Sneed State on Saturday at 2 at the Roy Cressip Field. The Indians are 8-2 on the season. Team batting average 310 already and looking very good. I wanted to touch on a couple of things from women's college basketball. Of course, State and Ole Miss on the losing end. Florida got to Mississippi State 69-66 on Sunday. State is 5-8 in conference play, and they'll next play hosting A&M on Sunday. Number 15, Tennessee, took care of the Rebels. Pretty good game, though. 80-71, the final. Rebels are 8-5 in conference and host Missouri Sunday at 2. How about that UConn-South Carolina game? What a shocker.
Yeah.
Brian, I know you were busy at Daytona, but UConn knocks off South Carolina 87-58. I don't think Dawn Staley's ever lost a game in that margin.
71 games in a row.
71 game home winning streak.
Didn't realize that.
And to think you're gonna lose it by 30?
Wow.
Nearly?
Wow.
Woo!
And we talked about that a couple of years ago on their run.
Yeah.
Of how hard it is just to go unscathed
for
so long.
Yeah.
Not to have a hiccup.
Boy, a record performance over the weekend. You may have seen Vandy's Michaela Blake's Division I women's freshman record, 55, Sunday in their overtime win. Took a little overtime. I believe she had 12 points in the overtime. 98-88 over Auburn. 5'8" guard, only averaging 21 points a game. And had a great day. 15 of 28 from the field. Only made 2 3-pointers for those 55 points. But she was 23 of 24 free throws.
Wow.
And I believe it was the very last one that she missed.
Yeah.
She was 23 of 23.
Talk about a good percentage.
Nobody shoots free throws as good as they used to either anymore. That's really something in this day and age.
And for her to get to the line that many times.
Yeah.
And obviously a very tight game that went into overtime. So Michaela Blake's double nickel. As we mentioned before the break, softball's off to a great start for both Mississippi State and Ole Miss. State's ranked 19th in the country and is 9-1. They will host another set of dogs today. Samford. Believe that is a 2 o'clock. They may have moved it.
Yeah.
Check your local listings. Ole Miss is 8-2. And they're playing in Rocket City Classic, or Showcase, they call it. Just outside, I would imagine, Huntsville?
Yeah, I think so.
In Madison, Alabama, their next game is 2 o'clock on Thursday versus East Tennessee State.
And talking about softball, baseball, all starting up, Tupelo Parks and Rec area, all the travel teams come in this weekend. So that's a program that brings a lot of revenue to the economy, bringing in these travel teams. Yep. You might see a lot of, players out eating this weekend and stuff like that. That all
Brian's
kicks
got
off
a little
this
experience
weekend.
In travel baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We traveled for 10 years. I could have built a house.
What'd you spend on? Yeah. Travel ball.
But I don't regret it.
Brian, update us on Tupelo and their week ahead.
Tupelo travels to South Panola tonight. The varsity has been moved from 6 p.m. to 4 p.m. Just always follow every high school baseball team that you may be interested in on their socials to keep up with these game changes. Yeah. And junior varsity for tonight for Tupelo is a possibility after the varsity.
Okay.
Around 6:30, weather permitting.
Do you like what you see so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're seeing a little bit of from Tupelo of what we thought we'd see. Hitting is better, and you know, there's a lot of good bats in that lineup. Pitching is still the question mark there, and Tupelo's got to have some guys to be able to step up for them. And then there's games on Friday and Saturday. Don't ask me the opponents, but we will, again, keep up with the weather and these – I just hate this for these kids in high school baseball. And even, I mean, college has the luxury of moving some games up at 1 and, you know, in the middle of the day, and high schools don't have that luxury. And I just hate it for these kids. I just wish there was a way we could find a way as a state and to move baseball to, you know, start of March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always been a big debate. Hey, while we're on baseball, I got a feel-good story that I know y'all probably have seen about Cade Ballew from Auburn. His mom died, lost her battle with cancer earlier in the day, on opening day, and his first at-bat, he hit a home run.
Oh, wow.
And I read a little bit about where his coach had called his dad that day after the mom had passed away to offer his condolences, and the dad said his mom would have wanted him to play. And I can't imagine how tough that would be.
Only in baseball.
Yeah.
Stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
By the way, this week, spring training games.
Yep.
And I mentioned this cat a little earlier. I hope, I pray, that Pittsburgh can build around this guy, Paul Skene. He's, to me, his most anticipated thing of the season is watching him throw again and hopefully stay healthy.
And I was talking to some guys down in Daytona actually about spring training baseball and how much fun it is, and I haven't been in years and years, but I think back on the days I used to go down and watch the Astros and hang out with Roy some, and it was just kind of so eye-opening of how they go about these games and the talent level you see of kids trying to make it, and they're just kind of all around you in these small setting venues, and it's spring training baseball is fun to watch.
Yeah, some of the most fun I ever had. Two years we did that. A couple of my buddies and myself went to Florida and went to. There were three or four different teams playing right there within 20 miles in those venues you're talking about. And it's like going to a high school stadium and they're playing professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We saw more baseball in 5 days than I have in the rest of my life.
So much better. It's like AAA.
Yeah.
AAA is better. I mean, if you just want to soak in a baseball game and avoid the expense, the parking, everything that goes with the baggage that goes with a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah.
So get out to a minor league game. Brandon Woodruff, another highly anticipated guy that's expected to be the day one starter. He hadn't thrown to a live batter in a while, but expected to be fully rookie. He talked about that. As a matter of fact, Will sent me an interview with the Milwaukee Press where Brandon said, hadn't had a setback. This is a long recovery, but I'm ready to go. And so he'll be the opening day starter for the Braves. That Central Division, it'll be interesting this year.
He was out at the club right before he left to go wherever they're going for spring training. And, man, he looks the part.
He's ready.
He's been doing something for the last year and a half.
Yeah. Note two. Regarding Major League, one of the major guys that Brian's a fan of, Alex Bregman, will now be a Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
As he was one of the last free agents sort of get plucked up before spring training. He had three or four teams in the mix for him. Boston had the highest amounts on the offer, I guess. But Rafael Devers has said, I play third base. That's my position. I'm not moving.
Yeah.
So Bregman at second, maybe?
He could obviously play second. He could probably play outfield, and people like Bregman are just such good athletes.
Yes.
And you just want their bat in the lineup, and he will be in the lineup somewhere.
There's some guys that are first basemen, some guys that are second basemen, some guys that are shortstops.
But there are a lot of guys that are just baseball players that you can plug in, like Brian just said, pretty much anywhere you want
to. I'm like, Brian, you put him in outfield.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard Altuve may be playing in the outfield this year.
That could happen.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun Major League season. The spring games get underway with a lot of different rosters. You guys aren't going to be used to the Braves roster.
No.
You're not going to – the Yankees have acquired. Of course, the Dodgers get everybody. They'll probably end up with Paul Skeens eventually.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
And then there's the Mets, who have had a very busy offseason, and Swamp's Mets ought to be a contender in their division. So we're excited about baseball, to say the least. I got a problem with the Super Bowl of NASCAR. Just that choice of words. Because the Super Bowl determines the champion in football for the entire year. So next time you're down there.
I'm going to get that change.
See, I mean, I don't get why you call it.
It's the biggest event of the sport. That's where that comes from. Yeah. Super Bowl's the biggest event of football for NFL, and Super Bowl for NASCAR, biggest events, Daytona 500, that first one.
It is the premier stock car racing event.
It's just, it if, kicks it off.
If you listen to the drivers, and I watched all the interviews in the 4-hour rain delay, all of them want to win it, I think, more than any other race, hands down.
Yeah, and I mean, even just watching the ARCA race, I don't even know the kid that won the ARCA race, but that is the non-sanctioned NASCAR series. But, I mean, this guy, he acted like he had won the Daytona 500 because it's just winning to say, I won at Daytona.
On that track. And how did Charlie's driver, Bubba Wallace, who had high hopes there in the front line, how did he turn out?
He didn't turn out too well.
Better luck next time,
Charlie's
Charlie.
Second guy, Chase, I think he had a top 15 finish.
Yeah.
But it's always fun. They head to Atlanta this weekend. Which makes a whole lot more sense than what they used to do. They used to go from Daytona to California. I'm glad somebody finally got a written map.
Sounds like the ACC conference.
But what a change in course from Daytona to Atlanta as far as excitement level.
It is. And Daytona's changed their track up a little bit. Atlanta has changed their track up a little bit. So that track used to be, they get so spread out, it was not really that much fun to watch. And I always say this, Atlanta Motor Speedway isn't anywhere close to Atlanta.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Thank goodness you're going to Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We rode for hours outside Atlanta to finally found it.
Yeah.
All right. And golf, just to recap, boy, how about that Genesis at Torrey Pines South and the finish for Ludvig Åberg. Took the $4 million purse in the signature events. And, boy, when you're putting to win it on 18 and sank that one. And yesterday he participated in the TGL triple header. I watched a little bit of that. It was awesome.
I did. Wouldn't it be great to be able to do that? We had a place here where you could do that?
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
The closest we've got is backswings over there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be headed over there tomorrow to hit some balls in this weather. But, the TGL is getting pretty good. Tiger and Jupiter will take on New York Golf Club tonight. It'll be going on at the same time as state basketball, so you'll probably miss it. But just an update there from the new golf league that's kind of catching on.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. And next up this weekend for the PGA, the Mexico Open. Or as some people have changed that to, the America Open.
Gulf of America Open.
I guess we'll do that with everything.
Yeah.
Honey, you want to go to an American restaurant tonight? have some tacos, maybe a burrito.
Yeah.
But that's up next on the PGA Tour. All right, it's time to jump in the time machine. Throw her in reverse. The date, February 18th, and the year was
1909. The Boston Red Sox trade Cy Young at 41 to the Cleveland Naps.
Fun fact, he never won a Cy Young Award. Great career.
Right.
Never won it.
Yeah.
1944, 15-year-old Joe Nuxhall signs a contract to play with the Cincinnati Reds just one day after playing in a high school basketball game. He debuts later that year.
Nuxhall, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Never heard that story. 1962, the fourth Daytona 500 race winner, Fireball Roberts, dominates the event, leading 144 of the 200 laps.
I wish my name was Fireball. How could you lose at anything with that name?
Well, it could be for a different reason.
But Fireball, there he comes.
1967, softball pitcher Eddie Fainter strikes out six straight major leaguers.
See, that doesn't surprise me.
No, me either.
I mean, even some of the top college softball pitchers could, I think they could do that with a lot of hitters in Major League.
When I was growing up, there was a lot of semi-pro fast pitch softball leagues around here.
Yep.
Some of those guys were unreal.
Yep.
Oh, I remember this one like yesterday.
Okay.
2001, 43rd, Daytona 500, Michael Waltrip wins the tragic race. Last lap crash claims the life of Dale Earnhardt, prompting the sport to implement new safety procedures.
Yeah, I think we all remember that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we were saying, that last lap, Brian.
Yep.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we lost Dale Earnhardt that day, but the loss and the death of Dale Earnhardt changed NASCAR safety.
Yes.
In ways that we would never, ever think that we would be where we are today.
Yeah.
For these guys to walk away of what they walk away from now is
that wrecking the last lap.
Well, the 60, we were just talking about how, you know, that when that net went down, I was just amazed because of the way that car had flipped and hit. And, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, check the text line. I appreciate y'all saying a great show. And thank you for joining us on the text line today, all of you. Be sure to check out our podcast as well. We got kind of a slow week, not as busy as last week. On Friday, we will be at Buffalo Wild Wings, back for yet another round with our friends from Mitchell Distributing. Have a great time with our Golden Tee tournament that's going on now with our friends out there. And we got a lot of cool prizes and great lunch for you out Friday. The return of Ched Cheddarman live at Buffalo Wild Wings. All right. We learned a little today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure
about a lot of different things.
Yeah, we did. And y'all have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Mississippi Sports Today.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Find your new ride at Kia Macomb's all-new location at the corner of I-55 and Highway 98. Come find out why Macomb loves Kia Macomb at the corner of I-55 and Highway 98. Right on the corner, right on the price.